relationships, parenting, faith. Discover books that will help you grow. The Wednesday Bookmark is brought to you by BooksForChrist.com.
Joining us this week for the Wednesday Bookmark is David Kinnaman. David has authored several books, including the previous Wednesday Bookmarks, On Christian, You Lost Me, and Good Faith. He's president of Varna Group, a leading research company. David's work as a researcher and professional listener has led his team to interview nearly 1.5 million individuals since he began working at Varna in 1995. We're going to talk this morning about his latest book. It's called Faith for Exiles, Five Ways for a New Generation to Follow Jesus in Digital Babylon. Appreciate your time this morning, David.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
At Varna, you've adopted a phrase to describe our culture today. You call it Digital Babylon. Tell us how that framing came about and what you mean by Digital Babylon.
Well, I was actually doing a radio interview a number of years ago talking about the pressures facing this emerging generation of young adults and teenagers. And as we did that, we were talking about, we were comparing them to Daniel and the Babylonian experience of moving from Jerusalem into Babylon, the story of the Old Testament. And so it was just a phrase that kind of rolled off the tongue. They're not in Babylon, they're in Digital Babylon. And it became a little kind of joke inside the office, but I think it actually really worked to describe the pressures of the current context of access, alienation, and authority, skepticism of authority. That's what I think defined Daniel's time and defines the sort of the current cross issues and currents that are facing this next generation. They face greater access. They have a sense of alienation from institutions and skepticism of authority, especially as authority structures outside of themselves. So this idea of Digital Babylon has been really fun to try to unpack for people, to give them a sense of what the implications are for, you know, growing up, for becoming, you know, people of faith, of sort of learning how to stay faithful in this current, very complicated society that we live in.
On that front, you propose that the goal of Christian discipleship today is to, and I'm going to read this because it's a bit of a mouthful, to quote, develop Jesus followers who are resiliently faithful in the face of cultural coercion and who live a vibrant life in the Spirit. Unpack that a little bit for us.
Well, I think what we've learned through many, many years, and as you say, you know, more than a million interviews in North America and around the world, is that a lot of church leaders and Christians, we have language for these concepts like discipleship that maybe don't have the kind of traction that they used to have. So we don't always know what we mean. And when we say these phrases, we don't quite have a level of specificity. When we give a mouthful definition like that, we're trying to say that there's a way of talking about our goals, the kind of people we're becoming, the kind of people we're trying to form in our churches, in our homes, in our schools, and that there's a better way to do that, that there's a process that we can take on as leaders and as parents. And, you know, so much of the study, so much of our research points to a better way for us to become the kinds of Christians that we all intend, but we have to be very specific and intentional about that. We can't just sort of throw spaghetti on the wall, to use a metaphor, and then hope it sticks.
Let's get into a few of these five practices for resilient faith and see if we can touch on two or three anyway. The first one is about experiencing intimacy with Jesus. Discuss the differences between a Jesus brand experience and a Jesus transformational experience.
So much of our research in North America focuses on, you know, the fact that many people, Canadians, Americans alike, would say that they're Christian, that they're identified as Christians. But they don't always center their identity or find deep joy and peace in their relationship with Jesus. We've created, you know, kind of a Jesus-oriented society, but not very many Jesus followers. So we write, you know, what we hope is a helpful critique of the Jesus brand experience in a country that is very oriented around getting people to be, you know, kind of Christian in name only. And of course, that's not the intent of any ministry, to sort of create cultural Christians, but there are a lot of challenges with that. And I think this generation is rightly rejecting cultural forms of Christianity in favor of either becoming a secular or non-believer, or what is often described as religiously unaffiliated, or they become, you know, much deeper followers of Christ, or sort of resilient disciples we just talked about. And so I think the pressure for us is to really ask ourselves, whether we're parents or pastors or, you know, individuals who are stakeholders in the emerging generation who want to see their faith last and stick, is, you know, are we giving people enough Jesus to be bored, to be culturally Christian, to wear the T-shirt, to feel like they're part of the Jesus club? or are we really ushering them, helping them see, you know, a deeper understanding of what it means to follow Jesus? And by the way, this gets to one of the core elements of our argument, that we believe that Jesus is a real person who really speaks into the hearts and minds of people today, and that's part of the answer, right? Like, instead of just saying, hey, we're going to make you dependent on all the good things we're doing here as a church programmatically, we actually want to help you instead tune your hearts into what God is saying to you, and to do so in a manner that's consistent with Scripture. That's a way to move beyond a brand Jesus experience and into deeper intimacy and a more transformational experience with him.
Okay, let's skip over number two and touch on number three. You talk about intergenerational relationships. Why are those so important? Like, what role do they play?
Well, one of the things that we see in the research around relationships is that the best definition of a meaningful relationship that helps to propel deep, resilient faith in young people is that these young people actually want to be around other Christians. They like other Christians. My daughter, who's a student at a public university in the San Francisco area, just this weekend was hanging out with one of the older adults at her church, and told me just how wonderful the conversation was and how encouraging it was. And there's a sense in which my daughter Emily was sort of saying, I actually like being around this person and I want to be like that person. And that's, I think, the purpose or the point of intergenerational relationships, is that it should help us to not just sort of like, you know, want to be Christians, but actually want to follow in this way of Jesus in the manner that others have done it. You become more generous, you become more oriented towards others, you see your own issues or suffering or challenges or pain in light of what others experience. And that, I think, is ultimately one of the great purposes of the church, is to unite us heart to heart across generations, across ages, across gender, across, you know, racial and economic and vocational lines. And the church is one of the few places in our society that really, when it's working right, it brings people across those differences, and age being one of them.
So there are three other practices we're not even going to have a chance to touch on. So much more thoughtful content in the book. So hope you pick up a copy of the book. But kind of bring this together for us, David. What thought do you want to close with?
Well, for me as a researcher, I actually have three kids. I mentioned my daughter Emily and two other kids between ages of 20 and 15. You know, it's not just an academic study for me, although there's lots of research and social research and hard science behind the work. It really has changed the way I parent and think about trying to bring faith into real life for my kids. And for any parent or church leader who's thinking about this, or actually even for young people who are, you know, in their 20s, who are wondering what a resilient Christian life might look like today in this current exile, I think it would be helpful. It's really, the research has sort of changed the way I think and the way I lead and the way I parent and the way I think about my own faith. And I think that's, this idea of being faithful in exile is a really important theme in Scripture that is often under-taught, is under-emphasized. So I hope that'd be helpful to people as you think about what it might look like for us to be faithful followers of Jesus in this new and really exciting, it's pretty unbelievable to live in the digital age, but it comes with a fair share of challenges, and we should be pretty sober-minded about that.
Faith for Exiles, Five Ways for a New Generation to Follow Jesus in Digital Babylon, David Kinnaman, our guest this week for the Wednesday Bookmark. Thanks for your time this morning, David.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
To hear this interview again or to discover more great books, visit chri.ca. The Wednesday Bookmark, brought to you by booksforchrist.com. Proudly Canadian, booksforchrist.com.